Hello and welcome to the LRM podcast, sponsored by Adrian Flux Insurance. I'm Martin Dominey.
And I'm Steve Miller.
And you join us for an hour of chat about Land Rovers and everything to do with owning them. Well, I suppose the first thing to do is say Happy New Year to everyone listening.
Absolutely. With New Year's Day and all.
Absolutely. So, we upload these at 6 o'clock. So if you're still up from the night before, go to bed. And if you've woken up and you're listening and you're feeling a little bit worse for wear, maybe you had a few too many shandies the night before, don't worry. We've got you covered.
I have the worst hangovers when I get them. As you remember from one of the shows this year.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, every time I think of that, I laugh. What an absolutely hilarious morning that
Drinking is not good.
No, do it responsibly.
Yes, drink responsibly.
Don't spill any.
Especially when greenlighting. I didn't say that. No, I'm joking.
That was, don't joke about these things.
No, drink driving is very serious.
It is. Anyway. Should we kick off? I'll tell you what, before we get into the meat and the
meat and the potatoes and Yorkshire puddings. How many more people have told us about Yorkshire puddings?
Shall we do some listeners' questions?
Yeah, go on then.
To kick off.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll ease into it.
We need to ease people into this, right? They've got hangovers.
Yeah. They will have. Oh God. Yeah. All right.
We haven't because we're not actually recording this on New Year's Day.
No, we're cheating. But
yeah.
Yes, let's have a couple of
We're listens. Still well and truly in 2024.
We are. But by the time you listen to this, it will be a whole new year and a whole new world of opportunity.
I told you before you accepted a job as editor of LRM.
Yeah, I can't tell the lovely people what you told me. Anyway, right. Andy Pummel has been in touch. He says, "Hi, Martin and Steve. I've recently found your LRM podcast and listened to it on the hour's drive to and from work into Auckland, New Zealand." How you getting on, Andy? The other side of the world. 30 years ago, I worked in the workshop at English China Clay, and we had a large fleet of Series 2, 2.8 and Series 3s, which I loved working on. And I can remember the buzz when we bought some new 90 and 110s. I suppose that would have been a big moment especially when they went into businesses, when the coil sprung land first came out. So obviously Range Rover existed, but...
But not in the workplace.
Coil sprung utilities, yeah, that must have been, like, incredible. He goes on to say, "I recently found a 1993 Range Rover Classic 3.9 Vogue SE, which I saved from the scrapyard. It's seen better days. Getting it home, pulling up the carpets, there's only about 200 mil of rusty see-through holes in the boot floor."
200 mil of a hole?
Yeah, apparently.
A sizable
hole. Well, but the boot floor is quite large, isn't it? So,
yeah.
Upper tailgate's falling apart, standard. Couple of small holes in the driver's floor, but the bulkhead is... Oh, wow. I thought he was going to say but and then say some positive things, but actually there's more holes. Bulkhead is holy. The front seats need recovering in leather, and the sunroof is rusty and falling to bits.
Do you know where this I think this is going?
Go on.
Right, so he picked it up from scrapyard.
Yeah.
Sorry, Andy, but I think it needs to go back. That's harsh, man.
That's brutal.
Yeah, but you know from first-hand experience, right? You bought that... Right.
Yeah.
With full intentions of restoring it.
I'd my lofty
You
heights.
Knew. You knew, didn't you?
The further I got into it, the more it became apparent that I didn't have the skill or the time to do it.
Because that's the rust you can see.
Yeah.
I'm not digging into it yet. Anyway, sorry, I'm interrupting.
He says, "Are there any good parts suppliers in the UK for Range Rover Classic parts you would recommend?"
Yeah.
That's his first question. Yes, there are.
Anyway, moving on.
So, off the top of my head, Famous Four.
Oh, yes.
They do.
So they're based in Louth in Lincolnshire, not far from here, probably an hour from here.
Actually. Probably, yeah. They've sort of been developing and bringing to market Range Rover Classic parts over the last few years. Machinal.
Yes, another friends of Alistair, very local to Alistair Cusick, our resident photographer.
Indeed.
So he does a lot of pressings, doesn't he, for panels?
Yeah, he does like the bulkhead ends and things like that.
Balls.
Which
yeah.
Andy might well need by the sounds of it. Go on, you were going to shout one.
YRM Metal Solutions.
Yeah.
Our friends up in the north.
Indeed.
Inner wings and sills and goodness knows what else they do.
The A and B pillar bottoms, they do them.
He'll probably need all of that.
It depends, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know how far into this Andy plans to go. Or hopefully he's already seen all the rust and there is no more, but we know what these things are
it's
like.
It's sounding pretty bad when a car has been saved from a scrapyard.
Yeah. I mean, anything's possible with enough time, effort and money. And I hope you do bring this one back, because a lot of them, like my Range Rover went off. I actually sold that to Tim Hammond, LRM contributor, and Range Rover aficionado. And he ended up using it for bits for others just because the body shell was that far gone.
Yeah, so you're still saving cars, but not that car.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, there's a positive there.
He goes on to say, once the rust's sorted, it's been converted to coil springs. Would you convert it back to air suspension? The compressor and loom are still in place. What's your take on that, Stevie?
Why was it converted is the question I would ask. Because why would you leave the compressor there? It's probably because it's knackered.
It might well have been that all the air springs perished and they just thought, oh, I can't be bothered to fit these and then worry about it again in like 10 years, so we'll just put coils on it.
If you're restoring that, say there's money no object and you're buying all the lovely new panels and you're spending the next 3 years of your life.
Yeah.
I think originality would be then key.
Mm.
I would go back to air.
I agree with you. If everything else, even if the compressor needs a rebuild.
Well, it's not that big a deal.
No. I think air suspension makes them personally. I think go for it. If it would have been in the factory.
I would go to air on that. But if you're preparing it and you're not worried about originality.
Nothing wrong with keeping the coils.
No.
It'll work, aren't they? But I would say I can't speak for Range Rover Classic, but P38, I've had a coil converted P38 and it was horrible compared to air.
Okay.
Might well have been that the kit wasn't quite right, the spring rates weren't quite right, but I wasn't a fan. So, I mean, if you're going to go this far with it, Andy, I would say keep the air.
Yeah, you want to be floating on air, definitely.
I think so. It's the Range Rover experience, isn't it?
Yeah, but he's got his work cut out. I'd like to see pictures, actually.
Yeah, send some pictures over, Andy. That would be cool. And keep us posted with your progress if you don't send it back to the scrapyard.
Which is where I think it probably would could go. That's a bit. Anyway, I started with my New Year's resolution to be more positive, but a favourite.
I was going to say, and is that going for it?
Yeah.
You're like a few hours into New Year and you've already broken it.
Although we're not actually, so I've still got time to reprieve.
Yeah, you're at that's true. You can redeem yourself.
Yeah.
So, obviously, 2025 is here. It's a new year. Everyone is hopefully thinking about what they're going to do with their Land Rovers this year, where they're going to go, what they're going to do, who they're going to see.
Well, I started off thinking, what am I going to do with my life?
Well, you're going to be more positive, hopefully.
Yeah. But I tell you what, right? So, I've compiled a bit of a list of events.
You've really forged ahead and you've cracked on and you've, yeah.
Yeah. So these podcasts, they don't record themselves. I've made a list.
I'd love to hear it.
What has highlighted to me is all of these events, bar one, I've been to.
Okay.
Or go to. And I've realised how very few weekends I'm going to have left.
If you actually add up all the Land Rover events that we go to, and in fact some that we would love to go to but just don't have time because they overlap with other stuff, take that number away from the number of weekends in a year. It is quite scary how much Land Rover stuff you can do. But if you're into it, as we are, then it's not exactly work, is it? It's lovely to get around the country.
Don't tell people that.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
It's hard work. It's really hard graft.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, come on, let's have it.
Right, so I've tried, right, to get an event in every single month of the year.
Okay.
At least one.
Great.
But I failed in January. But, so basically, write January off. Just get yourself prepared.
Okay.
You know what I reckon, right? You should get your vehicle in the month of January.
Yeah.
Most people don't have a lot of money in January left.
No, if it's Christmas has emptied it.
You know, buying all those Christmas gifts that we spoke about a couple of weeks
hopefully,
back.
Hopefully, yeah.
So get your Land Rover ready to go on road trips. That's my number one, and get ready to go.
Mm.
If you go into camping at some of these Land Rover shows as well.
Yeah.
To get yourself ready.
And also, the weather is still quite rubbish and the days are still short in January. So use your time to... Don't try and do too much. Just, yeah, like you say, focus on the vehicle.
And just sit and plan, actually, where you want to go.
Because
what I noticed last year is the year was kind of in control of me.
Yeah.
So you end up not always going to where you want to go. You end up going, I don't know, I end up going to events because I work at the events.
Hmm.
But the year went really, really fast.
Yeah, every year seems to
fight. So get it in the diary, get the dates in and work around it for things that are non.
Do you ever get to a weekend where you're not at an event and you get to the weekend and then you don't know what to do because you haven't planned it.
Yeah, I hate that feeling.
Because it kind of feels at the end of it, regardless of what you've done, that you kind of wasted the weekend.
Yeah, I had a weekend, what, 3 weekends ago? Exactly that.
It's a weird feeling.
But fortunately, there was a storm in the UK. And I just thought...
Bert, was it?
I can't. Why have stormed? Right, back in my day, in the old days, right?
During the war.
In the war, right? It was this winter, right? We summed it up as winter. Now, every time the wind blows or it rains, it's got a name.
Yeah.
What's that
Did
about?
You know they name it alphabetically?
Yeah.
I didn't until the other day.
Where have you been? Look, normally they have, are they male names now? They were female names.
Oh, do they alternate them?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, essentially, cutting to the chase, forget about January.
Yeah, yeah, get your vehicle all ready to go because...
Come on, let's...
You need to find yourself driving to the Three County Showground at Malvern to our first event, which is on the 2nd of February.
Wow, early on in February.
Early on. So this is the season opener. Spares day.
Yeah.
Mostly 4x4 Land Rover.
Great.
Tractor vintage, bit of that sort of stuff. But this year, as I've previously mentioned, there's a third hall.
Yes.
Called the British Restoration.
An exciting update to an already popular event.
It is. So within that hall, we've got some club display vehicles, Series 1 Club, Series 2 Club, Range Rover Register are kind of come along.
Cool.
LRM will be there, so you take out a subscription for the new year. We don't attend with LRM every single event because there's too many of them, but we're going to kick off with that one. That's a really good event.
Is that the one where we might potentially record a podcast?
Might potentially, yeah. Absolutely, I think we should.
That would be a good, like, not a practice run, but that would be good to do, like, our first live podcast because then we can do them at other events throughout the year.
So come and find myself and Martin will be on the LRM stand during the course of the day. So come and say hello. Got any questions? Come over and meet us.
Might have some stuff as well.
Martin will sign autographs, you know. You've signed autographs before.
I don't remember signing an autograph. I remember having a photo with someone.
Hey, we've had selfies, you know.
Yeah, that's quite a lot.
I don't know why the pictures of us.
Yeah, there's fun. Better people to take photos with in the Land Rover community. I can't actually think of any.
No, so, yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Our pictures. Anyway.
Moving on.
So kick off there. But then in the same month, and this is a show I really quite like, is the 4x4 Expo at Staffordshire.
What date's that?
That is on the 23rd of February.
I really like 4x4 Expo.
Why do you like it?
Because it's like, you know, when you get dragged to do like a big shopping trip to like Blue Water or Lakeside or like a big shopping centre.
Yeah.
It's like that, but all Land Rover and off-road stuff.
Yeah, I know
it's
what you mean.
Even kind of laid out like a shopping centre because you've got
it's a nice retail environment, the big things that you want to buy.
Yeah, you've got like your ground floor, but then also around the top, it's like an upper tier where they have some...
Yeah, like a mezzanine around the...
It's at Staffordshire Showground, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's indoors, which I really quite like. And some of the big names like Optimal Go and...
Yeah, absolutely.
Tough Trek often go.
There's loads of... It's become very... Yeah. Quite overlandy of late, hasn't it?
I think that's like the scene, though, isn't it?
It has changed up a bit.
Yeah, it is.
That said, Gwyn Lewis go, and they're hardcore off-road stuff.
They are, and they're mostly...
It's a really... I would thoroughly recommend it. And it's a great... If you have got some cash from Christmas, set it aside and go and spend it at... Well, first of all, our spares day, and also at 4x4 Expo, because there's such a good variety of stuff there.
Quite a few competition vehicles there as well. So yes. They don't always focus on just Land Rover because it's general 4x4. Mm. There are alternatives. So it's interesting to see what other vehicle makes are doing.
Yeah,
as well. So
absolutely.
Quite a few double cab pickups and suspension and wheels and tyres and all that good stuff.
Like you say, a lot of motorsport, like the challenge event vehicles and trialers and things like that. It's really, really good. And great atmosphere as well. It's always busy.
That's why I quite like that because it's very different to our shows, our sort of spares days particularly. Moving on, right? So back to Malvern, 22nd and 23rd of February, is a tractor show, Tractor World at Malvern.
Oh, awesome.
Now, you've been to that.
I have been to that.
It's always, every time you go, it's a cold time to go.
Yeah.
But on the 22nd, they have the H.J. Pugh's auction.
Yes, We had that the first year of LRM Live, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. So this is an auction where there's, I mean, there's like three auctions going off at once. There's three separate sales. There's the tractor sale, there's all the implements, and then there's the indoor, like, there's a big marquee with another auctioneer.
Oh, cricket.
I mean, it's huge. Loads and loads of tractors. I quite like it. And then in the halls is all the tractor displays. So if you do like tractors, definitely recommend going to that one.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, every time I've been to any tractor event, and I have been to a few, there's always Land Rover stuff there as well.
There is.
You know, not in the majority, of course, but there's always like either a small display or the odd series. They often have cool stories because they've often been in the same family for ages, or they've been modified in different ways. And it's just, again, it's a nice atmosphere, isn't it? It's all just old machinery, which we love.
So what I like is when you stand amongst mostly sort of farmers and agricultural-esque people, when they're bidding on tractors, it's really interesting to watch.
Yeah.
When someone makes an initial bid and then you can barely tell that they're bidding.
Yeah.
They're properly hands in their pocket, bale of twine holding their trousers up, and they're bidding on a £30,000 tractor.
Like it's nothing. Yeah.
And it's just like very stealth.
It's cool.
And fast-paced.
I remember the auction from last year, and it is, well, you know, even if you're not intending to buy anything, it's cool. It's really, really good. Get a cup of tea and just stand back and watch people spend a lot of money.
Some of those tractors do fetch strong money.
Yeah, definitely.
I like with an auction, I like guessing what, like, yeah, predicting what I think it's going to sell for.
Yeah, it's part of the fun, isn't it?
Yeah. But then back to an indoor event. No, in fact, hang on. I'm taking you up north now.
Okay. Are we still in February here?
No, we've now crept into the month of March.
Right, okay.
So we're now catering for the north of England.
Yep.
So Ripon Racecourse.
Yes.
Is our spares out there. It's been running now for a few years. Bought that back from, it used to run a few years ago, and then we've bought it back. And that's picking up pace.
It was really warmly received when we said we were going to start it up again.
And they're getting busier and busier each time.
Yeah.
And what I like about that one is, so our sort of Malvern and Newbury events, they're established for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And people in the north of England won't go all the way to Malvern or Newbury. It's too far.
It's a trek.
Proper trek. You have to be properly committed to go all that way.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like you get a lot of people from, you know, Cumbria, the northeast, south of Scotland, Yorkshire, Lancashire, and they all come across to that one. So you get some stuff that's not been seen before.
Got you. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. Properly sort of farm clear outs and bits and pieces. I love it.
Yeah. I'm going to get to that one this year. I haven't actually made it to Ripon last.
Oh, Ripon Racecourse. It's just lovely to be. It's probably one of my favourites, you know.
Really?
It's not as big as Newbury.
Sure.
But it's...
Well, Newbury's a monster, isn't it?
It is a monster. But Ripon's just a lovely event. Yeah. Really, really good. Yeah, nice, friendly people. North of England.
Good stuff.
But then we go back indoors. So this is another one I enjoy and regularly attend. It's at the NEC. In Birmingham, the National Exhibition Centre. And that's the Practical Classics Restoration Show.
Yeah.
So that obviously features quite a lot of Land Rover content.
Absolutely.
There's Land Rover clubs, Project J.
Yeah.
Series 1 club, Series 2 club, the usual. But on top of that, you're getting all of the, you know, people restoring Vauxhalls or old Fords and American and motorcycles. It's a good show to pick up tools.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say.
They do have an auto jumble area.
It's you get a lot of the sort of bigger brands, Dinner Troll, our friends at Dinner Troll go.
Yeah.
Things that cross over, obviously, all different genres, if you like, of vehicle, but all focused on restoration. Like you said, tools, consumables, workshop stuff, rust proofing, parts, you know, fixings. There's all sorts of stuff you can pick up there that isn't necessarily Land Rover specific.
Yeah.
And it's a, you know, the range of stuff. It's an enormous show, isn't it?
It is. It's some people complain, oh, it's X amount to park because it's quite expensive.
Yeah, it's not a cheap day out, is it?
No, I wouldn't say it's a cheap day out. But then, you know, the cost of running something like the National Exhibition Centre, it's probably worth pointing out, actually, that lots of people complain about costs of events now.
Yeah.
But look what's happened across the show arena, like Dorset Steam Fair,
yeah,
for example, that's been canned, it hasn't been on, right? So the true cost of running events runs into, Dorset Steam Fair as a classic case in point, millions of pounds.
Yeah.
It's people's full-time jobs all year to put that one event on.
Yeah.
And costs spiral. And you, at one point, you have to pass it on to the to the visitor or the trader.
Yeah, it's such a difficult one. But whenever you get, like we've had it before, people complaining about the cost, if you write down what absolutely every single element of putting on an event, especially a two-day event, costs, or two and, you know, three or four-day events, or even, you know, bigger, it is astoundingly expensive.
Yeah. So it's part of my day job is organising events for Land Rover Monthly and looking after profit and loss.
Mm.
And it's one thing I say is, like, I've had people say to me, right, that you run a two-day show. Well, surely it's just double what the day rate if you had a one-day show versus a two-day show.
Right.
They say, oh, well, surely it's just double the fee. But, well, no, it's not, though, because we're getting into the ins and outs of running an event here, but the build-up days and the build-down days or take-down days are expanded. So that Saturday and Sunday event is actually a Wednesday all the way through to Monday.
Yeah.
So you hire a venue for that long. You also have to have day and night security.
Yeah.
And medic cover 24 hours a day whilst people are sleeping. So you'll cut showers and toilets and cleaners and the litter and the rubbish, the cost of getting rid of rubbish.
Yeah.
The cost spiral. So you can see why some of these bigger events.
The other, again, it may be a bit of a, not a brutal way to put it, but maybe, you know, not exactly tactful, is you use it or you lose it. Because if people decide, you know what, I'm not going to do it, things like the Dorset Steam Fair, which was, you know, in its day, even to the end, was absolutely awesome, won't happen unless people go.
Yeah. But you see, I've noticed, you know, like recently in the UK, particularly in the last two or three years, with adverse weather.
Yeah.
People will often cancel an event.
Yeah.
Or the term they use is postponed. It's postponed till next year, i.e. this one has been cancelled because of the weather that's likely to come.
Okay.
So the reason why show organisers have to make that decision is because the cost of actually running the event and nobody attends will bankrupt that company.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't
because
it?
Because the cost, you know, there comes a point when you can't pull out of toilets and showers and deposits and
non-refundable deposits on things.
Non-refundables like medic cover. Once they attend, that's it.
Yeah.
And then no one comes in, or the weather. And then health and safety step in because there's too much mud on the road or too much crack.
There's so many knock-ons, isn't there? We're probably boring people with how you
put it. It's just a passive, but positive start to
it. It is, yeah. It's all we're saying is the events we're telling you about, you might look at the prices of them and go, well, it was never that much.
Because
5 years ago, nothing costs what it costs now.
No.
Anyway, right, NEC, let's go. Go to the NEC.
NEC is a fantastic event. There's lots to see. You can spend an entire day there. They have all the live demonstrations. They have people like Mike Brewer on stage entertaining the crowds.
All the my mates at Practical Classics, who I still talk to.
Yeah, yeah. So those guys will be there.
Yeah.
You often see Ed China walking around, or Anson might be there.
Yeah.
So look out for a few celebrities.
Absolutely.
Including me and Martin.
Oh, have a what?
We are influencers.
Anyway, that's a good one. Come on, let's go. What's next? I'm excited.
Then we're now into April. I haven't listed every single event, right?
Okay.
Because otherwise we'd be here for hours on end. But LRM Auto Jumble at Newbury, the big one.
The big one.
Right. This is the one where we're all hundreds and hundreds of traders and thousands of visitors, and they all pile in on a Sunday morning.
From all over the world.
Yeah. And it's great.
Yeah.
Long may it continue.
Absolutely.
It's been running for
ever
decades.
Yeah.
Some of the old boys would call it the old Todbury Sawtown.
Yeah, from back in, do you remember seeing the adverts in the old Land Rover?
Yeah, the caricature.
Yeah, the cartoon.
So that sort of then it moved to Newbury. And anyway, we've been running it for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Now.
And it's fantastic.
And it's picking up pace again. You know, most events have never picked up since pre-COVID days.
Quiet. Yeah, that's it.
But we are gaining back some of those people. So all manner of things are available at Newbury as well. You know, if you're looking for an old lawnmower or an old bit of tractor, it's probably there.
I was going to say, if you're very tight for time and you can only spare sort of one weekend and you've got a set list of stuff you want, I would say Newbury is probably the one to go to, but just simply because it has that vast range of stuff.
Yeah, you see, but then you could well find it at Ripon because you're not competing with as many buyers.
That's a good point.
So it's all about numbers. So with Newbury, it's quite, if you've never been, it's quite like, not overwhelming, but you could be overwhelmed by it.
It does take the best part of, it's open, what, 9 till 2, isn't it?
9:30 is public entrance, right?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. It takes you that amount of time to get around it.
It's big.
Yeah, it is.
And what people are fearful of is missing out on the bargains because everyone starts at this end. My top tip,
run to the other end
and work back.
Good idea.
Because actually everyone naturally starts at the beginning.
Yeah.
Run to the other end and work back.
Like a theme park.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? Up here for dancing, Stevie.
Absolutely. Right, so I've put this one in bold because it's that good, right? LRM Live, 17th, 18th of May at Three Counties. So this will be our third year of running the event.
Yep.
Not to be confused with the Auto Jumble events.
No, so very different indeed.
This is camping, entertainment, arena, club displays.
Yep.
Trade galore.
Absolutely.
And Auto Jumble, not forgetting Auto Jumble.
It's
the 2 day to camp in the Malvern Hills, right?
It's stunning. Or
to wake up overlooking the Malvern Hills. You would camp there whether there was a show on or not.
It's gorgeous, isn't it?
So camp there and we'll throw in the show for free. There you go.
And actually, I'll just stick my neck out here. Compared to a lot of other events, it's incredibly reasonably priced.
It is very reasonable price, and it's free parking. So if you come as a David...
Yeah, free parking.
Free parking.
Let's just say that again. It's free parking. Yeah. You don't have to pay for the privilege of parking your Land Rover on a bit of grass.
A show.
Just saying.
Yeah. Anyway...
Not that we're making a big deal out of it.
No.
The parking's free.
But if people are listening to this now, in January, get in early because you'll save money. There's an early bird offer on.
Yes. Don't forget, actually. Yeah.
LandRoverMonthly.co.uk. Go to our events section and book tickets. The earlier you book, then you'll save money.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Camping's great fun as well. We love having a stomp round, don't we?
Especially we'll be there.
End of the... Yeah, absolutely. Camping was hugely popular last year, wasn't it?
Yeah. Brilliant.
Make a good weekend of it.
Yeah. So head on down and obviously we'll be there. You'll be doing some at the arena, won't you?
I will be. I'll be on the mic with Wayne Scott.
Yeah.
We've got all sorts going on. There'll be club displays. We'll be chatting to people. Reader's Rovers Live, almost, we called it last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of went round and poached people and got them in the arena and then we had a chat with them.
Yeah, and there's Carcana,
audience
participation. So
that was popular last year.
Right? Neil Watson will be in there, no doubt.
Hopefully, making a complete mess of it, being beaten by pretty much everyone. And we've got stunt riders back as well, haven't we?
Extreme bike battle.
If you want a bit of lunch and watch people being lunatics on motocross and trials bikes, then we've got you covered.
And back by popular demand, so your dog,
yes,
our sister publication, Your Dog,
yeah,
will be judging some dogs. So bring your dog along. So some events are, you know, dogs welcome on a short lead. Yes, granted, keep your dog on a lead
under control
at our events, but bring them in and display.
Yeah.
Show your dog off.
That was really good.
And prizes to be won.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, great. And I'm not going to say the sun will shine, but it has in the last 2 years. So,
We
pre-booked the weather. Have you paid the invoice?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, good. The weather's
invoice
paid.
On the sun. Moving on into June, right? So, this was a bit of a favourite of ours last year, was the Shelsey Walsh Lucas Classics Day.
Yes.
Not advertised on the Shelsey Walsh Hill Climb website itself, but this is in conjunction with Britt Part and Lucas Parts and a JAG specialist, SNG Barrett.
That's the one, yeah.
So they come along and put on a day. So this is Saturday the 21st of June.
Yep.
So there's a number of, classic Jaguar and Land Rovers on the Hill Climb.
Yes.
This isn't a comp competitive event, so it's not timed, it's just drive up the hill.
Yeah.
Display your car, look around the paddocks, look around the cars on display. Last year there was a five pass, wasn't there? A bit farther.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, really cool.
There's, who was there comparing? Henry Cole, our mate Henry Cole and Fuzz Townsend.
Yes, indeed.
Were comparing along with Wayne Scott.
Yeah.
And just get up close and personal with all the cars.
I hadn't been to Shelsley Walsh until the first Lucas Classic, which was 2 years ago. And it is
really amazing,
gorgeous, lovely, historic venue. The oldest motorsport venue in the world.
Yeah. I haven't even driven up there yet.
You're going to go up there this year? I might take Series 3 up this year.
Yeah. No, you should.
Because every year I get asked and I'm always like, oh, I don't know, because I'm in Freelander or something not very inspiring. But yeah, no, I'll bring the Series 3 this year and I'll go get that V8 up the hill.
But really, really nice. And it sound good, I'll go up there as well.
Yeah, some of the vehicles they had in, you know, parade laps, if you like, last year, we put on our socials. And yeah, they sound awesome straight off the line.
There was that Series 1, wasn't there?
Yeah, with 4.6.
Yeah.
And it just smoked the tyres off the line.
Sounded really, really nice.
Yeah.
And obviously, MD of Britpark, Paul Myers, will be there, no doubt, with his racer.
Racer, yeah, is
5.2.
John Eales powered.
He really does go up there.
Yeah.
Fast.
It sounds awesome because it's like, well, it's a, it echoes, as the name
it's
suggests.
It's a valley.
Yeah. But it's, yeah, like you say, tall trees either side. And yeah, the sound of those engines going up that hill. Flat out under loads of load, sounds awesome.
Yeah, but definitely recommend that one. So check out the Lucas Classic Parts website for tickets and or Britpart. So go onto Britpart's website, sign up for their newsletter, and just keep an eye on tickets because I don't think they're on sale yet.
No, so very good bar and very good food at Shelsley Walsh, which is well worth mentioning. And actually, while we're on the subject of newsletters, if you want even more up to date information on events, sign up to our newsletter. Go on the website, landrovermonthly.co.uk, hit the button, and you'll get all this information directly in your inbox.
Now we're in the middle of the year, it's probably time to hear from our sponsors.
We're proud to partner with Adrian Flux, an insurance broker that specialises in covering all types of Land Rovers, including classic, ex-military, modified and Q-plated models. Adrian Flux offers a range of optional extras to make the policy your own and can provide cover for off-roading, green laning, agreed value and build-up cover. Plus, they even offer a discount of up to 15% for Owners Club members. Simply search Adrian Flux Land Rover Insurance for more information or call them directly on 0344 728 0417 for a quote.
What's next then, Steve?
Anyway, we are back to the Billing Off-Road Show.
Yes.
28th and 29th of June. We've been working with Billing now for, well, a few years now.
Good few years, yeah, definitely.
I mean, even since the Guinness World Record.
Look, yeah, right, I still can't remember what year that was. That was before my time, before I joined LRM.
Yeah, a good, well, it's pre-COVID time.
Yeah, I
think it was 2018, you know.
Was it?
Yeah.
You should know, you were there.
Yeah. It was our sort of, in conjunction with Billing, it was our sort of crazy idea, the ex-editor of LRM, Pat's idea.
Mm.
And we pulled it off.
I was going to say, I've seen the photos. I didn't actually make it there that year, but it looked like the hottest day ever.
And there were people absolutely
sweating on satin Land Rovers, one behind the other. But yeah, it was awesome pictures, like from the hillside where they run the challenge trucks, like Land Rovers snaking across this land.
So I deliberately waited at the end, so to join at the back of the queue,
right,
to just witness what was going on. And to organise that Guinness World Record was a lot of work for Richard and Sarah Arrowsmith.
Okay.
And from our perspective, everything had to be evidenced for Guinness.
Yeah, they're very strict, aren't they?
Yeah, very, very strict. So we had to have drones flying at all times and had to have a timer on the start line and the finish line. So it sort of monitored everybody going past. And each car had to be like within 2 metres.
Yeah, it was 2 metre gap, wasn't it?
Gap. Can you imagine, right? I'm driving along in all the dust, the driest, hottest day of the year. And in front of me, I could just work out the silhouette of a P-38.
Right.
And he's driving along. And to maintain that gap, because can you imagine, like, when you get a traffic jam on the motorway?
I was going to say, it's bad enough.
So none of this is crawling along. We're like rally driving to catch up.
Right.
Because the evidence is on the start line and the finish line. So you know that you, what happens in between, you can probably get away with, because the drones aren't going to get everything all of the time. Anyway, to cut a long story short, the P-38 in front of me broke down.
No, it didn't.
It did. Steam flew out.
I was
engulfed in steam, and he luckily had it somewhere to pull over.
Are you allowed to just fill that gap?
Yeah. Well, we did.
Right.
Okay. And it happened. But we weren't counted in the Guinness World Record. We had nearly 1,100 vehicles take part.
Wow.
And I think the record was like 656 or around that figure. I can't remember the exact number. But that's how many was actually counted until it all started to go wrong.
Okay.
So 1,100 cars took part to the record. I don't know whether anyone will beat that.
It's going to take, well...
It's a lot.
Yeah, the logistics involved and having the space to do it as well.
3 kilometres was needed. So the whole line was 3 kilometres long of Land Rovers to have that happen. I wouldn't want to do it again.
Well, we'll see, won't we? So we would be beating our own record.
Yeah, we would, no need to. And I challenge anyone to have a go.
Yeah.
Because it's a logistical nightmare.
Anyway,
moving on. I really like that show.
Really.
For us, we do show and tell, don't we?
We do show and tell from at lunchtime on the Saturday and the Sunday, where we invite people with vehicles that have caught our eye, or anyone that wants to bring their Land Rover or any other type of 4x4 up onto the stage. And we do a little interview, we do a little walk around. Really good fun. People obviously get their food and they stand by the side of the arena while they do their thing.
Yeah, it's one of the Challenge Southwest guys. So anyone that's not been, the Challenge Southwest are like challenge vehicles waiting around. So they have their lunch break.
Yeah.
And we sort of take over for a bit, don't we?
Yeah. Every year they do a different... So if you've never been to Billing before, you enter and on your right-hand side, you've got all the traders, all the auto jumble. That's sort of the main part of the show, if you like. And then to your left, you've got barriers, which separates off a hillside where the Challenge Southwest guys do passenger rides, don't they, for charity?
They do. Yeah.
In some of their awesome Challenge trucks, buggies, incredible machinery they've got on offer. And you can pay, I can't remember how much it was last year.
£25.
Right.
For 2 laps, which... I have to say,
you did it, didn't you?
I've done it for the past 3 years.
Have you?
And I've been recorded doing, I've done it with a microphone so everyone can hear me, like commentating.
Yeah, okay.
So I've been around there in anything from a 6.3 V8.
Was that Team Hybrid's one that looks like the Series 1? I think it was.
Yeah, Duncan. I forget his surname now.
Yeah, so the orange, no, sorry, no, green and yellow Series 1 looking thing.
Yeah, but it's like so fast and but so smooth.
Yeah, they've all got incredible suspension, haven't they?
Like, that's incredible. But one of the most, for me, I went in a guy called, I can't think of his name now, Charlie, I think his name is. Charles. He's got a TD5, kind of 90,
yeah,
truck cab.
Right.
And I tell you what, that felt fast.
Yeah.
The jump we did at the end. Well worth £25 of anyone's money.
Oh, you never see anyone coming out of any of those vehicles looking disappointed, do you? It's seriously.
Brilliant.
I really want to do it this year. I've not done it yet.
No, you should.
Yeah.
And take a microphone with you and everyone can hear
me scream.
Yeah. No, really, really good. So you remember Billing of old, do you?
Yeah.
Back in the day. Because you were like a kid.
I was.
When you went.
I have to ask my dad to take me because I can drive, obviously. And he tolerated it and I loved it.
Yeah.
Not being a big Land Rover guy.
And I used to go when I was first place I went, when I was 18 in my Land Rover.
Oh,
was
that cool.
Back when it was on the Aquadrome, the old days.
Yeah, yeah. But obviously one of the biggest draws to Billing Off-Road Show, as it is now, is that you've got two off-road courses. The Riverside course, which is generally open on the Friday, so campers have a go.
That's right.
Yeah. And then Lakeside course, which is open Saturday and Sunday, which is absolutely cracking. Really, really good. Lots of water splashes, lots of mud, axle twisters. Really, really good fun.
and non-damaging for the most part, unless you give it maximum beans through the mud run, like a lot of people seem to do.
Well, you sort of shafted crowns, didn't you?
Yes. I mean, it's been a staple, really, of billing for as long as I can remember, the mud run.
If you've not been sucking a mud run, like I have, where have you been?
Well, quite.
Yeah. Anyway, so billing, we'll be there. And again, Land Rover Monthly will be in attendance. So
we'll have our stand, won't we?
Yeah.
We'll be on the stand milling about, and we'll do show and tell, and we'll go and watch the off-roading and
judge the clubs.
Yes,
and the really important part of Sunday morning.
And you're going to the Billing Off-Road Show. We'll be there with our clipboard looking official.
Yeah, we do. Oh, this show is on my birthday.
Is it?
6th of July, if you're asking.
Oh, right, okay.
I
know that.
Capel Military Show. I've not been. Okay.
No, I haven't.
Our colleague Alice has.
Yes, she helps out there,
doesn't she? This is an all-action military show. So anything from helicopters, tanks, Land Rovers, Russian trucks, reenactments, all happening. It's one of those events that I want to go to.
Yeah, I think we should go this year if we get the chance.
Yeah, and that's down. So the Capel Military Show is in Surrey.
Okay. Not too far then for us, I suppose.
No, not really.
Hour and a half.
Oh.
That's a bit further for you because you're further north.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I would say more 3 hours.
She does assure us there's plenty of Land Rovers there.
Yeah, loads of things. Like, so, you know, anything from a Willis Jeep, Land Rover, anything that's kind of associated with military.
Yeah, sort of similar to your Malvern tractor show. If you're into old Land Rovers, you're probably into other old mechanical stuff. So
yeah,
you'll have a good time.
Yeah, so that's a good one to go to. And then for a more upmarket one, so we are now 10th to the 13th of July. And I've only been to this once, Goodwood Festival of Speed.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That is a fantastic event.
I've never been.
Oh, man. It's, you need more than a day.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you could go there in a day. But I don't feel like I'd have enough time to be there in a day. I'd need 2 days. It's anything from motorcycles to anything, McLaren. All hybrid cars. I stood in the pits, right? And they were all getting their motorcycles ready to go up. There's Keanu Reeves stood there next to me, revving his bike up. And then the chef...
James Martin. I knew it would be him.
How do you know?
He's petrolhead, isn't he?
Yeah. And I was like, this is unbelievable. I'm just like a member of the public that stood here amongst all this.
There you go.
Properly good event.
Bit of celeb spotting.
Yeah.
New and old vehicles.
The only two people I remember seeing. Oh, some guy from the old Top Gig days.
Oh, tell you what, actually, this is impeccable timing, Steve, because the latest issue of Land Rover Monthly, which goes on sale in a couple of days, the cover feature we did at Goodwood, and it's the first time I've been there, and I was absolutely blown away by A, the size of the place.
Yes, huge.
And B, yeah, just how many different elements of Goodwood there are. I thought it was just sort of like a racetrack, but it isn't. There's loads more to it. And we were lucky enough to shoot, like I say, the cover feature with two very, very cool, very, very different Defender 90s. All around Goodwood, we managed to go, you know, in some pretty incredible places. Even drove them around the track. Roy Duffy did an awesome job of photographing that feature, and we did some video as well. So keep an eye on our socials.
So is that could that well be feature of the week?
It is feature of the week, I've just decided.
There you go.
Yeah, so check it out. The cover feature on the February issue, which is on sale, in a couple of days.
Probably on the 2nd, isn't it?
Well, I think it's a bit later. I think it's the 6th because Christmas happened.
See, we're at the top of our game. We know exactly when LRM's on sale.
Shops.
It's on sale when it's there in the shops.
Yeah, but we'll post on our socials when it goes on sale.
Yeah,
it's fine. We'll check it out. Up to
anyway, if you subscribe, not only will you save money, it'll guarantee to turn up.
Yeah.
Earlier than normal.
You don't have to worry about going to the shop. It will get delivered directly to your door. And what could be better than that?
Exactly. Here's one I haven't been to. We're now into August. 16th, 17th of August. You've been to this.
Twice.
York Land Rover Show.
Yes, would recommend. I love
Tell
York
me
Land Rover
what
Show.
Is going on at York Land Rover Show.
So York Land Rover Show is organised by Richard Canterbury, that RCM Land Rover specialist, just outside York. And basically every year they have is grown every year. It's all for charity. It's a show basically on a stubble field, essentially, next to his business.
Okay.
But they have all sorts of clubs, all sorts of traders and
Auto Jumble, and they last time I went, I didn't make it in 2024, but 2023, they had right up my street a really, really cool scale Land Rover off-road course, so you could have a go with loads of radio control stuff. It's just a really, really cool, chilled out event. Goes on to the evening, you can camp over. Yeah, get along to that. York Land Rover Show at Cody UK, I believe the website is. And remind me again of the date for that.
16th, 17th of August.
There you go. So if you're up in the north, or even if you're not up in the north and you fancy a little trip, I would thoroughly recommend the York Land Rover Show.
My next on the list is Goodwood Revival. This is, I've been to Goodwood Festival of Speed, but never the Revival. So,
okay.
Have you seen the Revival before?
I'm aware of it. I've never been.
So attendees, so members of the public and trade and display vehicles, everyone is in period dress.
Yes. Yes.
So you'd fit right in for that 90, if 1980s are really.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, you know that. You just turn up as normal, yeah?
Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah. Yeah, no worries.
Yeah. So 50s, 60s, you know, kind of like people really go all out.
And that's more about, they have like a lot of really expensive, valuable, historic races, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is like...
It's Petrolhead Nirvana, really, isn't it?
Yeah, the only one, that, I mean, again, we spoke last week, didn't we, on Christmas Day, nonetheless. Things to watch on YouTube.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of the Goodwood Revival race stuff is on YouTube if you search it.
They do a live stream, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I mean, he got like Ferrari 250 GTO things and Ford GT40s racing.
Yeah, that's
I mean, he's like millions of pounds off a car, bumper to bumper on the racetrack.
Mm.
It's just money, no object.
It sounds wicked.
I don't think there's anywhere else in the country where you would see such,
no,
such a thing.
No, I mean, Shelsley, the Lucas Classic, to be fair, brings out a lot of very exotic and valuable stuff.
Yeah, like my favourite car in the world.
Yeah, Steve's favourite car in the world, which is a lightweight E-Type.
Yeah, or a semi-lightweight E-Type. No, I wouldn't say it's my favourite car in the world, but if I won the lottery...
Every time you see one, you go a bit doe-eyed.
I would,
a bit wobbly.
I would absolutely, I would have one.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I can see why. I think they're pretty cool.
Yeah, just to look at it, really. But anyway, Goodwood Revival, I shouldn't mind going to that.
I think, yeah, we'll keep it on the radar.
Mm, yeah.
God, October's busy.
Full.
Heavens above.
Now, do you know what, right? I look at all these events and I wonder why I don't get time to do my own stuff. Like, yeah, why are you not finished your project? Well, guess what? Because I've made all these events. I know. I can't make the year longer, can I?
No, but you've got evenings as well as weekends.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've got to cut the grass.
Come on now. What's happening in October? Let's go.
October, there's loads happening. So 5th of October, which is the first weekend of October, we're back to Newbury, the big spares day.
The big boy.
The LRM, Auto Jumble.
Yeah.
For all these dates, by the way, landrovermonthly.co.uk are on there. So book early, save some money. We've said about this before. Then on the 12th of October, we're back to Ripon.
Yep.
Ripon Racecourse again. And then on the 26th of October... season closes, and it's the Malvern Three Counties again.
Very good.
Yeah, which last year, or currently this year, because we're still sitting in 2024 in real terms, was absolutely fantastic. Loads of people came, really busy.
Yeah,
really more than ever came through the doors. So yeah, there's a real appetite for it.
If you're after Land Rover parts towards the end of this year, October is, you're spoiled for choice there. Three different spares events at three different venues in October.
Or you may want to trade. So a lot of people think they have to be professional traders to trade.
That is not true.
You do not.
No.
You can get rid of some of your old crap.
Well, I have done at Newbury before.
Yeah.
So I mean, no, high quality Land Rover merchandise and parts.
Yeah, so basically get yourself, you load your vehicle up, get up, get out of bed.
Get yourself a stand, pre-book a stand, turn up and
really
make a lot
way
of money.
Making some cash.
It is, yeah, definitely.
If I look down the side of mine, I need to clear up.
The only difficult thing is, obviously, when you're there, you do see things that catch your eye, and the money that you make, you often end up not coming home with because you've spent it on other stuff.
Yeah, but it's what makes Land Rover the ultimate recyclable car.
Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah.
Whether selling brings a whole other element. Actually, I would say... Maybe your New Year's resolution should be, if you've got stuff collecting, and you think, do you know what, I'm probably never going to use this, Book into any of them and have a go at selling, because it is great fun and you meet a lot of really cool people.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if you've got a project vehicle that you're really not going to face.
Are you going to sell yours? Right?
No. Not at the price you're offering. I remember the last ripping, in fact, of October 2004. There's a vehicle, like, put on a trailer, precarious, I have to say. And I sent you a picture.
Yeah.
I said, would you have towed that here? I mean, dodgy.
Shall we put it on the socials and see what you think?
Yeah, go on then.
Shall we? Okay.
Put it on socials and say, would you tow that, right? And he absolutely turned up and said, there is no way I'm towing that out of here. It has to be sold.
Right.
So somebody potentially got a bargain.
It was 110, wasn't it?
There was a 110 body put on like a raised pallet or something. I can't remember it now.
I can picture it.
There is simply no way I would have towed it. And the guy was like, no, we've done a clear out for somebody. It has to be sold. It can't go back in the shed because the shed's coming down.
Right.
So it had to be sold. Yeah, someone somewhere got a bargain.
It certainly was a sight. And yeah, you're probably right. There's lots and lots of things like that, though. People just, like, they've either had enough or they need the space or whatever, and they think, right, I've got to thin the herd. So yeah, if you're in the market for anything, really.
Ideally, most people don't want to take anything home.
Yeah.
Have a haggle.
Well, that's part of dealing in person.
It is.
You can afford to be a bit daring. There's the picture of it. For the record, I'm showing Steve the picture.
I didn't really want to be reminded, but that was, yeah.
So I'll put it on the socials anyway, but it looks like a 110 chassis on a twin axle car trailer with a potato crate, and then the body...
Body's been separated from the chassis.
Is sitting about 3 or 4 feet above the chassis with about 18 ratchet straps holding it down.
I don't think it was going anywhere. But
do you think they twanged the strap and went, that's not going anywhere?
They did, exactly.
Because I reckon if you went around a corner fast enough, that definitely would go somewhere in a ditch.
Yeah, they literally only towed it 2 or 3 miles to the venue.
Yeah, we're not here to judge, but if you're going to bring things to sell, please do tow them to the event safely and within the confines of the law. Otherwise, you'll not have a good time.
I have seen some quite funny sights.
Yeah.
People ratchet strapping Series 3 109 hardtops upside down on the roof of their Freelander 2.
Nice.
Put running the ratchet straps
through the doors.
Through the doors.
What a treat.
Bad, isn't it?
Yeah, don't do that.
No.
Make sure your vehicle is capable of carrying or towing what you're actually planning to bring. Yeah. Don't be dangerous. It isn't worth it.
Martin, aka Health and Safety Officer.
A safety officer.
But it is a really, really good environment anyway. Anyway, into November, we're back to the NEC. So I know you've been there because we've been there.
Yeah.
So it's the Lancashire Insurance Classic Motor Show at the NEC on the 7th to the 9th of November.
So this differs from the one in earlier on in the year, in March, because it's not so much a restoration show.
Not so much hands-on, more display.
Yes.
And like higher-end classics.
Take your car to the NEC restoration show in March, and when you finished it, take it to the classic show in November.
Yeah. Great Cub displays. Really high-end restoration stuff.
They have an auction there.
Yes. So...
Sorry, I've put you on the spot.
Iconic Auctions, used to be called Silverstone Auctions.
Yes.
Have a big sale there. We did Facebook Live, didn't we?
Yes, we went and covered it one year, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Maybe we'll do that again. That was fun.
It's got enough Land Rover content.
Yeah, true.
Because quite often you'll walk around and you'll see an old, I saw that Jensen Interceptor.
Yeah.
Like a project vehicle. Obviously, never in a million years will I buy it, but you can't help but think, cool, that's nice.
There's some really nice stuff there. I was quite taken with some of the... early 90s Japanese, like, I had like a two-door Impreza and stuff, and it just reminded me of playing Gran Turismo 2 when I was younger, and I was like, ooh, I could get on board with that.
Yeah.
And then you see what they're worth.
When I was young, they didn't have computers.
I know. You had to play with an abacus.
Yeah, basically.
It was like a hoop and a stick, and you run around and listen.
The steel ones. They're like galvanized hoop and a... Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever have to go at that? So if you ever go...
It was ball and a cup.
Right, so if you ever go to, I think I've spoken to you about this, Beamish New Zealand.
I've heard of it, yeah.
In the northeast.
Yeah.
It's like a whole village rebuilt, like next to a coal mine, and they've rebuilt an old schoolhouse there. And you can actually have a go at that.
You go in there and go, oh, it takes me back.
Yeah. Oh, look, there's an inkwell.
And the teacher leathering you with an old ruler or something.
Do you know what? Right. Even in my... So I left school in 1994.
Okay.
At 16.
I started school in 1994.
Yeah. Anyway, so when I... Even in this school, naming no names of schools, but this was in Cumbria.
Mm.
We had teachers that wouldn't necessarily hit us, but would throw things at us.
Okay.
They were strict.
But the board rubber.
Definitely.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, and this was in like probably 1992 that happened to me. Mm. I was talking, obviously.
Yeah, of course you were.
Between me and my mate. And this board rubber came flying between us, hit off the table, cloud of like dust. And he simply said, next time, I won't miss.
Oh,
stalking.
Threat.
It was strict.
Crikey.
He was at
Ofsted would be all over that these days. Well,
do you know what? Yeah, anyway, I think those days... Did I talk again? In the
it hasn't stopped you for long.
Right? It didn't stop me. It stopped me for long enough in that lesson, eh?
Yeah, I bet it did.
These were teachers, right? So these teachers had like tweed jackets with leather patches on their elbow.
Nice.
And like shoes with like metal bits on their soles.
Yeah.
You knew they were about.
I bet they stunk of cigarettes and black coffee.
Pipe tobacco.
Yeah, I bet.
I remember going to the staff room once. Some teacher said, oh, can you go and get such a teacher? And I was like, oh, God, you have to go to the staff room.
Right.
You go down this corridor and you knock on the door. And I knew it wasn't a teacher because obviously someone's...
Teachers just walk in, yeah.
Yeah. And I opened the door and all you could see was the teachers all sitting around the edge and the room was engulfed in...
Was it like, open the door and tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be? Like, just getting engulfed in old, like, tobacco smoke.
Yeah. Look. I think every teacher smoked.
Yeah, well, it was the done thing back in the day, wasn't it? They said it was good for you, didn't they?
Oh, I'm not that old. This was in the 90s.
Oh,
but imagine a school now with, like, people smoking in it.
That's mental. Yeah. I always find it funny to think that smoking wasn't banned in like offices and pubs that long ago, really.
I mean, 20-odd years ago in the UK?
I didn't think it was that long ago. Anyway, We're way off on a tangent here. We're off pace.
Anyway, how's your Yorkshire pudding making?
I haven't done any yet.
No.
Been too busy.
Is that because we haven't actually left this room?
I'm actually scared to fail.
How can you fail?
Well, I've never done them from scratch, so I'm worried that I'm going to make a mess of it.
What could possibly go wrong?
Well, my kitchen could burn down. Hot oil could dash me. There's a lot of things that could go wrong, Steve.
Well, yeah.
So, Seb, sorry, I haven't tried your recipe yet, but I will. Maybe. Maybe we'll make them at a show. Can you do that? They need an oven, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, our sort of catering, we've spoken about camping and catering, haven't we?
Yeah.
It's a go-to thing. We haven't had anyone email in.
Send your recipes in.
Recipes
I was reminded actually yesterday by some lovely people, good colleagues, of the time that I let the barbecue cool down too much and then someone said they wanted halloumi. And I'm not a fan of halloumi, but I said, you know what? This was at LRM Live last year. I'll cook you
something. You poisoned everybody.
I didn't poison them.
But it tasted like poison.
I thought it would be an idea to spark the barbecue back up, get it going again with some firelighters. And I did that and then I cooked the halloumi. But the coating on the firelighters is obviously paraffin, and it just made the cheese taste of paraffin.
Well, that's what firelighters are.
Yeah, but I didn't, because I don't like halloumi, I didn't think to try it first. So I gave everyone who had apparently been looking forward to this halloumi all day on the barbecue this cheese, and it tasted of paraffin. And for that, I'm truly sorry. I'm often reminded of it.
Yeah.
So,
tip, don't reignite your barbecue. Just put more coal on it and... If it's still going.
Well, it was nearly out completely, but it needed. Yeah. So anyway, don't do that.
Mm. So that's our take on events, right? So I want to hear of any events that we must go to.
Yeah.
Not that we personally have that many weekends, but editorial.
I'm not paying for parking though, so make sure they've got free parking. Editorial at lrm.co.uk. If you've got a local event or a club event, hit us up.
Yeah, I want to know, because we spoke in last year about trialing, didn't we? And
That's a good response. We're going to do that.
We are.
Do that when the Series 3's back firing. Once it's a...
Well, Trial Navigate, then? Do you need a navigator?
You can have a passenger.
Yeah.
Be a passenger if you want.
We should do that, shouldn't we?
That'd be good, wouldn't it? Yeah. Nice, fresh and repainted and go and smash it into some trees.
Yeah.
Put some character back into it.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
The paint you use is so thick and old, it doesn't matter.
No, I can just touch it back up, can't I?
That's the beauty of hand paint.
It is.
Painting something.
Exactly that, Stevie. Well, there you go. You got your 2025 sorted now. Don't say we never give you nothing. Happy New Year. Hope you're not suffering too badly. Also, thank you ever so much for all the support we had in 2024, because obviously the podcast's still quite young, isn't it, in the grand scheme?
Yeah, what are we, like 35 weeks in?
30-odd, yeah. I can't remember exactly.
30-plus, yeah.
But the support we've had, people saying they like it and leaving ratings on Apple and Spotify and things like that, and meeting us in person, it's been really nice. And as well as the podcast, obviously, the YouTube channel's grown nicely this year and the magazine is still doing really well. So thanks to everyone who reads, listens, watches all the Land Rover Monthly goodness. We really appreciate it. We'll see you in 2025. Let's have a great year. Thanks very much.
And we'll, yeah, I second that.
See you out there.
Bye for now.